thankful for each one that is here this morning. And again, trust the Lord will bless you all with a good day in the Lord and that you would be rewarded for coming out to service this morning. I heard of a little boy, read of a little boy a while back speaking about Mother's or Father's Day. And he made the comment, he said, Father's Day is just like Mother's Day, you just don't spend as much money. I kind of wondered about that one, and indeed, that is true. 84% of our population celebrates Mother's Day, whereas 76% celebrates Father's Day. Now, $19.9 billion a year is spent on Mother's Day or Mother's Day. Father's Day, $12.5 billion is spent. Average spending per person in the U.S. for Mother's Day is $162 a person. Average spending for Father's Day is $113. So, you fathers, I want you to know that you are special. Maybe, I think sometimes it's because the dads are saying, hey, we'll just spend a little bit more. But for whatever reason, Father's Day is a special day. And there's question is this, are fathers expendable? We live in a society, and I don't know if this spending on Father's and Mother's Day, you know, it's not the amount of money spent, it's the quality of time that matters. But what's important is that in something that our world is doing, our world is minimizing the place of fatherhood. And our world is promoting a philosophy as if fathers are expendable. I read about someone, it was on a, I believe, a TV show, that had postulated or just made the comment about the importance of fathers. And it was amazing the number of celebrities that put them under fire for building up fatherhood. There were those that said, well, I have a son, I'm a single mom, and my son's amazing, and he doesn't need a father. And there were those that began, because what's happening in our world today is that single moms, gay couples, those are what's being exalted and lifted up. And the thing is, my heart goes out to those that do not have a mother or a father. But God still had a plan and a purpose for fatherhood. Being a father is more than just having a baby. That doesn't make a real father. A father is someone that is there to love and to care and support. And I also appreciate the fact, and Renee was sharing with me on the way to service this morning, someone that had posted on social media about having grown up without a father. But they were also talking about the men in their lives that had filled that place for them. And I appreciate that because it's not our choice whether we have a father or mother, but it is a blessing for those that do not, for mothers and fathers to step in and be a source of strength and stability. But I will also say this morning, that there are too many missing fathers from the home. Too many missing fathers from the home. And it is a blessing still today for men to stand up and be real men during good times and during bad times that won't go out seeking after their own pleasures, but will fill the place of responsibility as a faithful husband and a faithful father to their children. So the question still remains, are fathers expendable? I don't believe they are, because God ordained fatherhood. God was the one that put that into place. There is something about fathers that with mothers cannot give. There's something that fathers offer to a home that a mother cannot give. A father is someone, and I'm talking about true fathers now. I'm not talking about the man that just comes in to eat and sleep. I'm talking about a father. Someone that is there to love and to care for his children and the children in the home. But there is something, a source of strength that a father can pass along to the children that a mother cannot give. There is a stability that a man who is a father in the home offers to a stability of a home that is, it's glaringly absent when there's not that source there. A father brings about and teaches his children something about responsibility and love in a way that a woman cannot give. It's not any less important. There's a special place that a mother fills in the home. But there is a source of love and responsibility that a man fills in the home that is invaluable. And so the answer to the question this morning, is our fathers indispensable? The answer to that is no. God intended for a home to have a mother and a father. And it is an unfortunate reality in our world today that there is a lot of heartache that there are single moms and there are single dads. And when we see those situations, Lord, help us to step in and show support and try to bring about stability. I have not ever been in that place. Some of you all have been in the place where you didn't have a stable father or a stable mother. And I find that our world is being very critical of the men who step in to fill that place. And I want to encourage us this morning, let it not ever be said amongst us. I've heard people say, we don't need, men aren't any good. Have you ever heard that? There's just no good men. And they start running men down. I still believe there are at least a few good men in the world. And I believe some of them are right here in this chapel. But I'm thankful for good men. Thankful for those that have stepped up to the plate. I'd like to read over in the book of Matthew this morning. That book of Matthew in the 6th chapter, we'll begin reading with the 9th verse. Jesus was teaching his disciples to pray. And he said, after this manner therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And I'm going to stop right there. This was the example that Jesus gave his disciples of how to pray. He said, our Father. And that's the burden the Lord put on my heart this morning. Our Father. A father is one who has begotten a child. It's the originator of. And Jesus taught us to pray to God that way. There are some people that don't understand the concept of God being a father because they had a father who was abusive or had a father who was not faithful to their mother. Or who had a father that was not there to daily care for their needs. And for them to understand a God that loves us as a father, that's a foreign concept. But I will say I am thankful that God is our Father this morning. God is one that will never leave us. God is one that will never leave you forsaken. He will never abuse you. He will never take the trust that you put in Him and let you down. But when we pray this morning and when we live life, it is a blessing to me to know that we can say, our Father, which art in heaven. There's one that loves us. There's one that cares for us. This invocation began with a foundation of warmth and love. Our Father, which art in heaven. A Father, one that is holy. Loving deals with a paternal relationship. And do you know that if we love God as our Father, He's going to love us as His children? But it takes something. If you want the full benefits, you children, listen to me now. You young people. If you want to experience the full benefits of the Father, then treat your Father with the full benefits as being a child. Trusting, caring, respecting, and being there, and you will find the benefits of fatherhood. But I say this about relationships in general. The enemy is trying to tear down earthly relationships. The enemy is doing all that he can to split up marriages. The enemy is doing all that he can to drive wedges between children and their parents. He's doing all that he can to drive wedges between brothers and sisters. Have you all observed this? The enemy is working on every hand to drive wedges in relationships. But there's something about relationships is that while people struggle with that sometimes, and he's been largely successful, we can only have relationships as we allow relationship. If you limit a relationship, if you limit this morning your brother or sister, you limit them and you hold your brother or sister at arm's length, that's the kind of relationship you're going to have. It happens with parents and children. Children, whether you're young or whether you're in your 20s, 30s, or 50s, if you hold your parents at arm's length, that's the kind of relationship. And you can have a father or mother that wants to be there to be a friend to you, to support you, to help you, to encourage you. But because you're put them at distance, that relationship is impossible to happen. Is this right? This is the reality of relationships. Which means then if you want the fullness of relationship with friends and family, and I will say in the congregation the same thing applies. When you put barriers in relationships, there are going to be consequences to those behaviors. How can God love us this morning as a father that wants to be there daily to care for us if we do this to the Father? And all the time the Lord is looking down saying, would you let me help you? It's like, I can do it myself. Have you ever seen children like that? They're just so independent they don't want anybody to help them. Do you realize that the relationships that are formed by people that are so independent, you know, very independent people don't have very healthy relationships? And the reason is that relationship is based on trust. It's based on a mutual dependency. Do you realize that to have true relationships, you have to become vulnerable? If there is no vulnerability, I will say your relationships will stay pretty surface. And you know, we all have surface relationships with people, right? There are some people that the relationship is surface. Hello, how are you doing? And you're not just vulnerable. Oh, let me tell you all my problems and see what you can do to help me. That wouldn't be wise to do that with everybody you came in contact with. But there are people that God has placed in our lives that if we want to experience the fullness of relationship, that folks, that's what makes life a joy, is relationships. Isn't it? It's the ability to have brothers and sisters and parents and the family of God that you can be comfortable with and be who you are. But you know, with people you can't trust, you can't be who you are either, can you? You know, everybody has this facade, right? I mean, to an extent, everybody, you know, depending on who you're around, you know, you might act a little bit different. And there's nothing necessarily wrong with that. I'm not talking about being a hypocrite. But I'm saying that your relationships with different people are different. But if we want the fullness this morning, it takes being vulnerable. And when Jesus taught us to pray, and he said, our Father, which is in heaven, he was saying that we're becoming vulnerable to God in allowing him entrance into our life. But I don't want to hold God at a distance. Folks, I want the fullness of God this morning. I am desperately in need of God the Father to work in my life, to give me leadership, to help me when I'm weak, which means I'm going to have to open up my heart and become vulnerable to God. But it is a privilege when we pray to be able to say, our Father, I acknowledge your position, Lord. It's the desire and purpose of God the Father to be our Father. I'd like to read a passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Because this is one of the ways that we can limit our Father this morning. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning with verse 16, he said, what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them and I'll be their God and they shall be my people. Isn't that what we want with God this morning? I want the Lord to say, that's one of my people. That's one of mine. These are my people. But there was a condition to this. He said, I want to be your God. I want you to be my people. He said, wherefore, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. It's kind of like the story of the prodigal son. The prodigal son wanted to leave home. The prodigal son wanted to go out to the world. He made a decision to put distance in his relationship with his father. Father, give me of my goods. I want to go out there. Do you know that wasn't the father's fault? We can sit back and say, oh, if he was a father, he would have run after him and twisted his arm and tied him down in the bedroom. What kind of life would have that been? The father let his son go because he knew that a relationship is not based on force. It's based on love. It's based on decision. If you have someone, you come up and say, Aubrey, you be my friend. Where's my stick? You be my friend or else. What kind of friend is that going to be? True friendship, just like with the father, is when it's voluntary. And God is saying, I want to be your God, but you're going to have to forsake the gods of this world. You're going to have to leave those things and come and let me be your father. Young people, you can't expect God to work in your life if you're not willing to let him be your father. I've heard people sometimes say, this just isn't working for me. I'll tell you what, if this works, the relationship with God works when we forsake our sin and we say no to the things of this world and say, Father, I want you to be my father. And I don't want to do anything that's going to hinder the relationship. I know this deals with relationship this morning. And folks, this touches every relationship. What are we willing to allow to hinder relationships this morning? Well, God wants us to be our God. He wants to be our Father, but He said you're going to have to come out. You're going to have to separate yourself from them. Salvation that God has to give to us. Many times we think about Jesus being our Savior, and He is. But you know who sent the Savior to us? It was God. For God so loved who? The world. And who's that? That was us. God so loved us that He gave His Son. It was God's will that we be saved this morning. That's an expression of His love. Think about the scripture over in 1 John 3:1 where He said, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not because it knew Him not. Do you notice how those two things are tied once again? We're called the sons of God and the world doesn't know us. I think it's interesting to look at some of these children this morning and I can see where they came from. You know, you can look at people and I think it's ironic sometimes going even to Monarch and you see a little boy running around. You look at him, it's like, oh, I know who his dad is. Looks exactly like him. He's acting just like him too. Do you realize it's interesting? You can see parallels, right? You can see how people, where they come from. We ought to be living in such a way that people can look on us and say, I know who your father is. It's like, how do you know? Because you act like him. I can see a sense of security in you. I can see a confidence in you. What kind of confidence? Because this, a father brings stability, doesn't it? You know, when you're out by yourself and you've got the Father with you, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. That's the Father. The Son is with me. But when God is with us, we are able to face life when we uncertain things. When we don't know what's going to happen and there's uncertainties and there's instabilities in life, there is a stability within us that we can have in a confidence because our Father. So if you're feeling lonely this morning, you've got a Father that loves you. You know what? Earthly fathers are good, but I'll say there's one that's so much better than earthly fathers, and that's the Heavenly Father. He'll walk with you. He'll give you confidence. He'll be strength to you when you're weak. He'll enable you to overcome temptations. And he shows us his great love. There's another very oft quoted scripture from Psalms 103. It says, as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. You know what that word pity means? Have you ever heard the expression, or have you ever told someone, I don't want to be pitied? Have you ever said that to anybody? I don't want to be pitied. I will tell you, there's truth in this. When I was in a wheelchair, times I couldn't walk and times my body was jerking and people look at me and they would think I wasn't all there and I was having mental issues as well as physical issues. Do you know that people treat you differently? And I knew what was going on the whole time. I didn't want to be pitied. I wanted to be loved and assisted was fine. But don't pity me. The scripture says, as the father pitieth his children, that pity means, by definition, has compassion. It doesn't mean, oh, I'm just going to get down here and, oh, you poor little thing. But it's as a father looks on his children and saying, I want to help you. I have compassion. Do you know the Father's moved with compassion on us this morning? When we have the need, don't be afraid to come to our Father. He knows our frame. He's the one that created us. Why do we feel like we have to... Understand what I'm saying now. Don't run with this one too far down the road. But why do we feel like we have to be so spiritual that we can't acknowledge our needs sometimes? The Lord made us. If I'm struggling with it, then Lord, I have a problem. And I need some help, Lord. He knows I'm not perfect humanly, but He came to be my Father, that He could lift me up and enable me to overcome my weaknesses. So there's nothing wrong with acknowledging. Children, sometimes you have not because you ask not. The scripture says that we have not because we ask not. Who are we supposed to ask? The Father. If we have need this morning, come to the Father. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. It's like if the son comes, it's hungry, the scripture says, and he asks his father for bread. Is his father going to give him a stone? You know, the Father knows what we have need of this morning. This is our Father. So, are you taking advantage of it? You young people, I want to speak to you for a moment. You're going to have problems if you ever get to the place that you think you're so independent, you don't need mom and dad. I don't care whether you're 5, 15, or 30. God was the one that made the institution a family. And we need each other. We need each other. Family needs each other. Let's not allow the enemy to drive those wedges, but it's going to take something on each part individually, as it is with God. I can limit God's working in my life unless I'm willing to say, Lord, I don't want there to be a hindrance here. We need to believe in the Father. Believe in His provision this morning if you have need. Something else the Father does, and I know Brother Randy, or maybe it was in Sunday school a while back, we had this little discussion, remember, about mothers and fathers. You know, their disciplinary approaches are a little bit different. And I will say mothers usually, not always, there are some men that are real softies. And I've seen moms that if things are going to get down to business, it's mom that doesn't, not dad. But generally speaking, moms can tend to be a little bit more easily moved with compassion. And sometimes dad says enough's enough. And you know, moms and dads need each other's balance, I'll say that. There's been a few times that I know through the years that Renee thought maybe that, you know, it was maybe I need to ease up just a little bit. And there were times like, Renee, you know, it's not time to ease up. You need to kind of ratchet down a little bit. That balance is good. But did I say that wrong? there is times and importance for all, but there's something about a father's correction. I'll tell you, the old ladies at church, The old ladies, when I was a little boy, I say old, that's how I, you know, you think the elderly, I mean that with respect. But the elderly ladies told me when I got older, they said when your mom took you out, you were waving at everybody. But they said when dad took you out during service when you were misbehaving, I wasn't waving at anybody. It was because I knew something was going to happen. And my mom made it happen too, I will acknowledge. She used switches. The old apple tree got used in the backyard. Do you know, though, there's a place for that? In the Scripture, our Father, God, He brings correction too sometimes. Over in the book of Proverbs 3 and 12, it says, "For whom the Lord loveth, He what? He correcteth. Whom He loveth, He correcteth, even as a father the son in whom He delighteth." Boys, let me delight in you. It said He corrects us as a father in whom His sons He delights. The God loves us so much that He corrects us when we need it. Now the world has twisted that and they say, oh, if you love your children, you just let them get away with anything. If you love them, you wouldn't do that. Do you realize that true love brings correction? It doesn't bring correction because I'm upset and I'm all this, but it brings correction because I don't want you to grow up acting like this. You know, you see a little 2 or 3 year old throw a fit, it'll just get worse. And you think, oh, look at sweet little Susie. It's not going to be sweet when she starts getting a little older and she's 13 years old acting that way. Or when little children get the little poochy lip. You know what I'm talking? You say, oh, look at how cute they are. I'll tell you, it's not cute when you've got a 30-year-old wife and mother with the poochy lip. So it's the job and responsibility of the father then, the daughter or the son whom he loves. There's some chastening. And the same thing is with God the Father. Folks, when God corrects us, don't think that God is against you. I'm not going to ask for a poll of you children and young people if you ever feel like your parents are against you. I have a feeling there's times it just seems like I just can't do anything. Mom and dad are always saying no and they won't ever let me. Do you know there's a reason for that, young people and children? It's because we delight in you. God does the same thing. He loves us and He knows the things that are good for us and the things that aren't. And He's going to bring some correction. Now, Zachary and Miklo, I'm not going to open this up to you this morning right now. But do you realize this is the reality? God's love for all of us means there's going to be correction. But are we going to receive His correction or are we going to get offended at it? You know, when correction comes, we have a choice. We can get offended and be resentful. Has anybody here ever gotten offended or been resentful of correction? I think probably all of us have. But do you realize that if we will let it work for us, we come out stronger because of it? But it takes humility. Lord, help me to receive. The Lord's given me a few spankings before. I'll freely acknowledge. There's one time I remember I flat out felt like the Lord gave me a good whipping. And you know what? Every time a similar situation comes up, I remember that and say, Lord, help me. I don't want to go there again. You know what? The Lord did that because He wanted me to be stronger. And it did. It helped me. You know, that's what the love of an earthly father does too. But we have to be willing to let it be exercised in us. I'd like to mention a couple other things before we close. The Scripture says in Ephesians 6, 2, it says to honor. Honor who? Thy father and thy mother. It's something that our world is, again, in the pursuit, they're tearing down this concept of honor and respect. But the Scripture says, honor your father and mother. And I'm going to speak earthly, on an earthly basis. We need to honor our earthly fathers and mothers this morning. And it doesn't mean that a three-year-old should honor their father and mother. But you know what means a 13-year-old should honor their father and mother? The 18-year-old should honor their father and mother. The 40-year-old should honor their father and mother. There was not an age limit placed on this. Honor means I'm going to be respectful. and I'm going to care for, and I'm going to show respect and obedience. Someone says, well, I'm 13 years old. I'm kind of make my own, I can do what I want. Or I'm 18 years old, or I'm 20, or I'm 30. I can just, you know, there is a relationships, they change. Relationships change. I don't want to have the same relationship with a 3-year-old that I do with a 30-year-old son. I don't want that relationship to be the same. But do you realize that as children, all of us, we are taught to honor our parents, be respectful in how we speak, in how we conduct ourselves. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. He's talking about honor. It's talking about respect. And I am finding, it seems like in our world, and you children, young people, I want to speak very directly to you. Honor your mother and your father. Don't think that you will ever get to a place that you can just do it how you want, and I'm just independent, and I can be disrespectful to your parents. Disrespect to your parents is wrong. All right? Now you may think, Brother Michael, that's pretty straight. It is straight because the world is not teaching that. The Bible says to honor your father and mother. And I'm going to say something else to you children, young people. You are not on the same level as your parents. Okay? I see children at a very young age speaking to their parents as if they are equals. You know, when I talk to my dad, we're not equals. He's my father. And there is a level of respect that I am to have for my father, even though I'm over the hill and I've been around the block and I've done some things my father has never done, and I fill places and been, but he's still my father. And I still owe him honor and still owe him respect. And there is way too much disrespect in people's homes today. And I want to encourage you children and young people, watch your attitude, watch the way that you speak to your parents, and honor him. But we are to honor our Father God as well. Show respect by how we live. Show respect with how we conduct ourselves. We are so blessed this morning to have a Father. This is where Jesus, when he was in the garden, he called out to his Father. He said, Abba, Father. Abba was in the Chaldee language, and it had the inference of a very intimate, close, loving relationship. And then he had the term Father, meaning the respectful language of respect. Abba, Father, our Father, we have the love relationship, and we also have coupled with respect. That's the relationship that we should have with God this morning, that we submit ourselves into his hands. Let's walk as good children this morning. You know, none of us are exempt from that. How have we been? Have we been showing God the respect that we should? This is his purpose. This is his will for our life. Lord, have I been as respectful, or have I kind of got this attitude that, you know what, this doesn't matter a lot, and I think I'll just do it a little differently? You know, that hurts God because we're not honoring him. But let's honor him with our life. So thankful to have a Heavenly Father that cares for us. May God bless you. Amen.